We're live right now for the Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, and of course Sky 99.5. Good afternoon. It's hoping that everyone has had a great weekend, and we are ready to kick off another week. Remember, of course, as we always say, your health is your wealth. All right, so we usually have Dr. Dean. You all know Dr. Dean is out there doing her thing, and we have Dr. Taylor went out there to support Dr. Dean. So we have another doctor. We say welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Vasanth Basdeo. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon and looking forward to a healthy conversation with you, the listening public.
Beautiful. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been a doctor, and do you practice any particular type of medicine, or you're just general med?
Yeah, so I've been a doctor 12 years now, and my specialty is family medicine. It's something that people may not be familiar with.
Right.
Look, we always hear about general practitioners or GPs, but it is also a specialty, and I've gone on to specialize in family medicine the same way persons specialize in general surgery, obstetrics, pediatrics. So I've worked for about 10 years at the Southwest Regional Health Authority, where I was a DMO for those 10 years. And I've moved on now, and I'm in private practice. And, you know, yeah, my skill set is really trying to keep the patient healthy and preventive medicine and lifestyle medicine. So we see patients from the start, from birth, all the way to, till the end, actually, and beyond. So we grow old with our patients, actually.
You would have generations, you physicians like you would see. Of course, you're a young guy still, but you would, like you say, from birth, and you would, you know, grow with them. One of the things in families, and I'm sure a lot of families are trying to do, is to get people in their family, whether it be their mom, dad, brother, sister, whoever it is, to stop smoking.
Yes.
Right? That is something I'm sure you've had experience with that.
Certainly. It's one of my areas of expertise. And, you know, look, if there's anything in the world right now that we can do to improve the health of the world, is helping people to quit smoking. Smoking annually kills 8 million people every year, directly. When we look at the pandemic, you know, in the height of the pandemic, that was 4 million deaths in that year. And smoking every year consistently is 8 million deaths. What's even more alarming, though, that's first-hand smokers, persons who actually smoke. 1.2 million people die from secondhand smoke each year, you know, and more and more every year, the literature is just coming forward. Look, smoking is not just lung cancer, it's strokes, heart attacks, you name it, infertility, erectile dysfunction. It's just one of the most preventable things that we can do to improve the health of our population.
Right, so how does one go about in your family to say, listen, you need to stop smoking. Stop smoking before you get a heart attack. Stop smoking before you get cancer. How does one go about even starting that conversation?
Yeah, look, to all the smokers out there, it is a hard decision. It's a hard choice. We have studied this nicotine that is in tobacco and cigarettes, and it's a very addictive substance. So once you get hooked, particularly from a young age, when your brain was developing, this is no easy task to quit smoking, you know, and that's why the healthcare professionals, there's a lot of teams out there that are willing to sit and work with you. But you raise a good question, you know, how do we get our family members or loved ones to like have these conversations? And honestly, it's something that we have to start advocating for, but not in a very dismissive or pessimistic way. You can't just be down somebody's throat like, yo, you need to quit smoking. That's going to aggravate particularly men, because there are higher prevalence rates of smoking amongst men.
Yeah.
Right? That, look, if you keep nagging me about this, I'm just definitely not going to listen to you. But if we can be supportive and make persons see how relevant this thing is, like, for instance, a father for the first time, if you let him know, look, smoking can actually affect the lungs of your developing baby. And they can get asthma, middle ear infection. It can actually cause sudden infant death syndrome.
If that doesn't make you want to stop, well, I don't know what will.
Well, exactly. You know, so what we do at the healthcare professionals is we try to make things very personalized and tailored to the individual. You know, you might be a grandfather with a first-time grandchild, and you say, look, I want to be able to go down in the park, go down in the spaniard.
If you see a child graduate.
Right, yeah, you know, and the ability to walk, run, and not be out of breath, have this chronic cough, and be an inspiration to your family. So to the smokers out there, look, it's no easy task. It's a very difficult task for many persons. And for the family members out there, look, be very supportive of your loved ones. You know, don't just be like, why you can't quit smoking. It's a very difficult task. Nicotine is as addictive as heroin, right? And the U.S. General Surgeons Report posted this, and we have this substance in cigarettes, and we just definitely can't pretend that it's something just like a, you could quit this habit without support. And that support comes in the form of both counseling, talking. We now have support in the form of technology, right? And we now also have medications that can assist someone if they are so desiring to quit smoking.
I know my dad used to smoke, and he said he quit cold turkey.
Yeah.
That works for some people. Even I, as a young boy going to school, there was a time when it was cool to smoke and hit your trial thing. But after a time, I realized this. You had to spend all this money on cigarette and making your teeth yellow, your breath stink thing. I don't want a part of that. I just stopped. Yeah. Is it a mind over matter thing with some people?
So maybe in the initial phase, and there are some individuals there I really admire how strong-minded and their power of will, you know, that willpower. You know, somebody, there are people out there, look, I go in and do it, and I will do it, and I have to do it.
Yeah.
Boy, I really admire that. That's really a mark of success. So you have persons out there who can quit cold turkey, but particularly for persons who've been using cigarettes and tobacco for a long time, and at least probably, you know, smoking a pack a day or so, we advise you to come in, have a conversation. Look, we are people's people too. We want to hear your struggles, and we'll go through it with you. And you'll be surprised so many times it's very simple strategies that you could use to help you quit smoking. It does not mean necessarily all the time medication or, you know, some sort of, we had to move away from that thinking healthcare is this kind of negative thing. Healthcare is actually now a positive thing where you could actually go feel better about yourself. Leave the consultations feeling, look, Ray, boy, I'm feeling motivated to be a healthier individual.
All right, so let's start from the top now. Give us some of the reasons why you should stop smoking.
Right.
Why not even to start smoking.
Exactly. So we want the next generation to not even be exposed to tobacco and cigarettes. It's the number one preventable cause of death in the world. So it's the most premature death. So most smokers, they reduce their lifespan by, on average, 7 years. So that's 7 years out of your life, off your book, if you want to put it like that. Then, tobacco smoke is associated with so many diseases. You know, we think about just smoking and lung cancer. Yes, it is a cause of lung cancer. But it also causes oropharyngeal cancer. Cancer of the nose, cancer of the mouth, the
cancer
throat,
the
esophagus. Cancer of the colon, you know, it's associated with almost every cancer right now is caused or directly associated with tobacco use. Not only cancer, lifestyle diseases. In Trinidad and Tobago, we have some of the highest cardiovascular disease in the world, right? And heart attacks and strokes are very prevalent.
Yes.
We are seeing a lot of younger people at the ages as early as 30s, 40s coming in with cardiovascular disease. And, you know, many times it's associated with chronic smoke use and chronic smoking.
Yeah.
Then when you talk about the men, it also causes erectile dysfunction. It affects your sperm count, your ability to have a family, right? And then for women too, it is also a leading cause of a causative factor for infertility. So, you know, you might be a young person thinking, you know, this not directly affecting me right now, but you have to start thinking about tomorrow and the future. And so when you look at it, smoking on the whole is associated with respiratory disease, cardiovascular disease, lifestyle diseases, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, strokes, you name it, and not just cancer. So I really want persons out there to think about, move away from this thinking that smoking is just cancer. No, smoking affects every aspect of your health.
Is there anything as a healthy cigarette? I know some people like to smoke menthol. Is that does that help any?
Look, back in the 70s, my seniors and my professors and they had a real hard time because back then, everybody grew up knowing the advertising that was done. They made cigarettes look very slim. That, you know, it's an appetite suppressant. This time it's the nicotine suppressing the appetite. So it making it look like some kind of fashionable housewife to have these slim tin cigarettes and menthol and filters and flavors. Look, at the bottom of the, at the end of the day, once you have tobacco in that cigarette and it's being lit and burnt and inhaled, it's damaging your health. So there's no such thing as a healthy cigarette.
Yeah. No. When you ask some people, why do you smoke or why do they start smoking, they will say, well, it's stress. And, which I can understand because you're really putting more stress on yourself later on in life for stop smoking. Does smoking really relieve? Again, is it a mind over matter? I think the thing when you fill this cigarette, like you relieving your stress because, I mean, the stress waiting for you right out there.
No. But that's real, you know. We cannot deny that smoking cigarettes is stress relieving or what we call pleasure. It gives a sense of gratification, a sense of pleasure. And that's because of the one chemical that is addictive in it, the nicotine. When you smoke your cigarette and that nicotine hits your brain, you feel like you've accomplished something in life.
Really?
It releases a chemical through acetylcholine and stuff in the brain called dopamine. And you feel like you earned a reward.
Yeah.
And you feel like you accomplished something. So it gives you the sense of deep gratification, a sense of relaxation. So that's why, you know, persons say that this is a feeling that we have when we smoke a cigarette. And the thing is, though, one, you're relying on a drug and dependent on a drug to make you feel good and feel better. But at what cost? And that cost is not just health cost, but financially as well.
Yeah.
Look, I've had patients in my practice, and when we sit and do the numbers, particularly like taxi drivers and stuff, over 30 years.
How many cigarettes you bought?
Not just how much, it's how much money.
Mm-hmm.
You could have bought a piece of land.
Yeah, boy. Some people smoke two,
a vehicle.
A day, two packs a day, half packs a day.
Yeah, you know, and when you add up the prices of cigarettes that continue to rise and go up, and when you look, add up the numbers. Let's say a pack around now is about $35, $30 or so, and you have a person smoking two, three packs a day, or even one pack a day.
Yeah.
That adds up. You're talking about $10,000 to $30,000, $40,000 a year in cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. You know? What about in terms of men and women? Is there a difference in the effects between men and women in smoking?
Genetically and phenotypically, men and women have differences in terms of the genotypes.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it's the same effects. You have the same sorts of cancer and the same sorts of negative health outcomes. But particularly for women, infertility is a big, big one. We've seen a high association with being unable to get pregnant. And then not just for the health for you, the effects on your infant, your newborn.
Right.
Very, very, negative effects that it will have on your newborn child as well.
Isn't it possible, like, if in the, I know this might take government and parliament to pass a law against smoking around, you know, your young, well, children, it's secondhand smoking with underage children?
Oh, well, listen, the Ministry of Health and the Tobacco Control Unit have done some really good work when it comes to smoking.
Mm.
And, back in the day, we couldn't hide when we go out and lime and come back home because you're smelling of tobacco, because anywhere you go and some people were smoking, even probably in a studio like this, people would have been smoking and things like that. So now in Trinidad and Tobago, they have signed on to what you call a FCTC, a Framework Convention for Tobacco Control, which makes it illegal to smoke in public spaces. So we could go to any government and public spaces and not have to worry about someone else damaging our health through secondhand smoke. And not just secondhand smoke, third-hand smoke. You see how in a studio like this, plenty fabric and thing?
Like you're going to a club or...
Or somewhere with lots of carpets and drapes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And someone smoked there the day before.
Yeah, it's soaking in.
Correct. And you come there working and you realize, well, wait now, my nose running whole day. I feeling congested.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I just sneezing and, asthma act up and stuff like that. That's the effects of third-hand smoke that we are seeing now on the population.
So, yeah, man. Of course, feel free to send us any of your messages, folks. You can send it to the Sangate WhatsApp, the Sky 99 WhatsApp, and of course, you know, the Freedom WhatsApp, of course, 306-1065. We're talking again with Dr. Vincent Basdeo, lunchtime doctor for today, and we're talking about smoking. Right now, we have this new thing. Now, I know you're plenty with the youths now vaping. The youths now are vaping.
Yeah.
And the vapes come in. I know they're nice, they're pretty. A lot of parents may not even know
that
the children are vaping, because they might just see this children have this device. Some parents don't intervene, that kind of thing. Is vaping any worse or any better than smoking itself?
And that's, it's a hot conversation these days. And if you talk to any parents out there right now, it's something that's very prevalent among the young population. You know, lots of parents reaching out to me, look, my 10-year-old, my 11-year-old, I find this vape in their device.
10-year-old and 11-year-old?
Correct. Right straight into secondary school, right out of primary school, finding these vaping devices. So there's a concern. You know, now, back in 2003, a Chinese pharmacist, he would have invented this device, which was called an electronic nicotine device. And we call it e-cigarettes.
Okay, I remember that one that came out.
And it was patented then to replace or to help persons who are addicted to smoking tobacco, to help them quit smoking.
Yeah.
So that was what it was invented for first. Okay. But then even to that, it's not showing to be as effective as, let's say, the pharmacotherapy and the medications that have to help persons being sweet. There's still back and forth literature on it. But the worrying thing about these vaping devices is one, is now you have a population of young persons as early as 9 years old. I have some research that shows that in Trinidad and Tobago starting
how
these devices.
How they getting the device involved?
Well, that's a real good question. But I mean, let's be real. Let's look around, drive around, take a drive to the mall, take a drive anywhere on the roadways. You're going to see signs. You're going to see advertising. You're going to see right in the areas that our youths frequent. The arcades, the malls, you know, where they hang out.
Yeah.
You have these vape shops just popping up, and they're making these things so attractive to the youth.
Yeah, boy, you're pretty.
Listen, I would have been in attracted to this too, because it's things like car racing and what type of finish it have and stuff like that, correct? And then it's different flavors.
You could design your own too.
You know, I was making a comment the other day. Look, back in the day, we would have talked about what type of marble you have. If you have a KK, or a cross, a dragon, a clear one, right? What kind of vape, what kind of flavor you have? So we're preying on these young minds, the young future of our population, on their development minds, on these things. So you find out now these vapes now are being started very early from our young population. And the sad thing about it is that the vaping use is now associated with tobacco use. So they start vaping at such a young age, and then you find that the majority of them, a lot of them, go on to use conventional tobacco because there's the same addictive behaviors.
I know, what I saw. I mean, I don't want to speculate, but there's a vaping place on the, well, in Port of Spain, somewhere in Port of Spain, Woodbrook there. And I saw some young people not too far away from it. And I saw somebody, like they were waiting, just waiting around. And maybe I'm just thinking that somebody sent somebody, an adult, to buy the vape for them. Because kids in the school uniform can't, obviously can't buy a, buy a vape. So these things are, these things are happening.
So they're being targeted. And I mean, you know, a lot of parents are reaching out to us to help with their youths. And the thing about it, though, is the nicotine addiction.
But it is still as addictive as a cigarette.
It is more addictive than a cigarette. Because what they've done is they've taken the nicotine, where you could only put so much in a leaf, will only, is how it grows,
tobacco
leaf. Now they're making this in the lab. They've protonated it, more potent. You have a stronger concentration hitting the brain. Now, the sad and scary thing about this is from a young age now, we have a population, when they don't get that nicotine in 1 to 2 hours, they're going to have serious cravings and withdrawal symptoms. So they're going to be lacking concentration, unable to focus, very jittery, impulsive. So they're going to make very aggressive, impulsive behaviors. And that's where you're going to have these youths now, you know, very, very impulsive.
Acting out,
as we would say, you know. So, and the scary thing about it is that once you form an addictive youth, they go on to use things like marijuana, alcohol, and when I say use, misuse and abuse, addictive and gambling, and go on to harder substances as well too. So we really need to protect the brains of our young population.
All right, more questions and stuff when we come back, folks. We're talking with Dr. Vasan Basdeo today. We're talking about smoking, vaping, and how to get off of it, right? We're coming back. This is, of course, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor.
Furniture and stoves. The best prices are at Standard. Believe it.
The wait is over. Kia is giving you something to shout about. The all-new 2024 Kia Niro. The best value hybrid SUV on the market is back. In addition to its striking design, safety features, comfortable interior, and the latest technology, the Kia Niro is a world record holder for the lowest fuel consumption. The versatility of the Kia Niro makes it a good fit for everyone. You can catch this amazing hybrid online at kia.co.tt or visit a Kia showroom near you and test drive one today. Kia, movement that inspires.
Attention all bakers, doubles vendors, and roti makers. Try our high-quality bromide-free, all-purpose, and whole wheat flour. Low price and conveniently packaged in 2 pounds, 2 kg, 10 kg, and 25 kg bags. For wholesale and retail prices, contact Shikrisho Limited at 665-3336 or 480-8715 or visit us at Warrenville, Canupia. Shikrisho Limited, quality you can trust.
At Standard, when we say nobody beats us on price, you better believe it. Washers, dryers, TVs, furniture, and stoves. The best prices are at Standard. Believe it.
All right, folks, we're back at it with the Lunchtime Doctor. We're talking smoking today. A couple of questions here. Yes, Doc and Bass, good afternoon. I did catch my nephew with a vape the other day, and his parents did not even know it was that he was 15 years old. And vaping. You know, also smoking. I remember my husband had quit cold turkey, but sometimes he kept going back to it, and it took us a while before we got him off of smoking. He did get a heart attack, and that made him stop instantly. Right, so smoking can lead to a heart attack. What are some of the ways that, you know, smoking will affect you in ways that, like, to get a heart attack?
Right. So, yes. So when you think about it, smoking enters your nose, your mouth, goes down into your lungs, through your trachea, into your lungs. It puts up a system there. And, you know, I think everybody should start looking at these models of the lungs. It's like a car filter. You know, when you take out your air filter in your car and you go to change it, there's a lot of carbon monoxide and soot and all the things in it. And right. It goes from being white and clean to being dark and, you know, really unclean. And that's what happens to the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have an inefficient lungs that function in it, not absorbing oxygen properly. Your cardiovascular system is under strain. Your high blood pressure goes up. That high blood pressure now puts a strain on your heart. It affects the way in which your body affects, you know, plaque buildup, and they're more likely for, with all these things now, hypertension, high plaque, poor respiratory function, for this heart attack to take place, not just in the heart, but also in the brain, cardiovascular disease. So, you know, we targeting this in our population. Too many of our Caribbean and Trinbagonian population die prematurely or suffer prematurely from heart attacks and strokes. And the thing is, you know, people get it, and they live, but then what's your quality of life after that? You know, your functionality, your bedridden, you have to walk with a walking aid, you know, and these are the things that we're trying to prevent, you know. We want people to be working, playing their dominoes till 80, 90, and walking, moving, coming down on the promenade, having a good time, playing some chess, and that's the society and population we want to have.
Now, it's not as popular as it is in many places. What about smoking cigars?
Right,
the cigars have any effect?
So cigars, you know, in the Caribbean here, very popular in our Cuban neighbors as well, too.
Yeah.
In places like India and some parts of Africa, they chew a lot of tobacco as well, too.
Mm.
And actually, that is more cancerous than smoking. Smoking is cancerous.
My uncle had a pipe.
Yeah, you know, so pipe and, you know, well, we as a nation, you know, we're familiar with the pipe use and you know, some significant leaders and stuff like that. But, you know, this is at now that they didn't have the information then. Now we have the information that, you know, tobacco, whether it's in the form of cigars, whether it's in the form of chewing tobacco, hookahs, whether it's in a pipe.
I was going to ask you about that.
So people think, what is it passing through water and you're still inhaling, but it is still smoke and
still
tobacco that is entering your lungs, you know. So there's no filter there that will protect lungs from being damaged from tobacco and the smokes and the carcinogens and the chemicals that are in these substances.
So people listen, you're literally killing yourself by indulging in these practices, right?
Yeah.
Of course, our Sangeet WhatsApp is 343-10061, and of course, Freedom 13306-1065. We invite your questions. We're talking about smoking. Do you think the Ministry of Health is doing enough? I know it, like on a tobacco pack, you would see the warning signs. Mm-hmm. You could pick it up big and bold. But do you think there needs to be more of a shock factor? Like taking young people, like sometimes you see the advertisements on TV when you have the person, when they have the throat cancer and they have the putty thing and they're talking like that. Do you think there needs to be more of that in your face, some in your face marketing, advertising to get people to stop smoking, especially younger folks?
Well, you know, we have done well. We have done really well. If you look at the cigarette packaging as well, too, they've added that, look, the Minister of Health advises that smoking can kill you.
People and, still buying it by...
They put in the pictures, as you see, you know. So when you look at a cigarette pack now, the majority, 70% of it or something like that, is a picture like what you described there, and the warnings are there. But of course, you know, we can always, as a society, get on campaigns, get on drives in our faith-based organizations, in our community groups, our sporting groups and stuff like that. These are the areas to, you know, start talking, having these tough conversations. Look, if we could get our youths off these addictive behaviors, get them into things that are healthy, you know, sports, music, arts, culture, academia, you would start to see that our society starts to uplift itself naturally by just these addictive behaviors that they are fighting.
I like what you said there. I mean, I'm just thinking about maybe a pastor, even if it's a pundit or somebody,
exactly,
could invite a doctor like yourself to probably a day, and then someone come and talk about, you know, smoking.
And that's something I want to encourage, you know, in our community. Look, we are very cultured people, and we should start to know in our faith-based organizations, in our community settings, invite healthcare professionals to come in and take a 5-10 minutes to talk about, you know, health and health prevention. Could be on anything. Could be on diabetes, could be on high blood pressure, you know, stress management, you know.
Reach out to the people.
And that that sort of campaign is what's needed. That kind of on-the-ground work.
Yeah. Question here. What about smoking marijuana, Doc? Is that healthy? A lot of people have health benefits in smoking marijuana. Get rid of your pain. Mm-hmm, they say, you know, cure your arthritis and that kind of. A lot of people swear by the marijuana. But what about marijuana smoking?
We have to recognize, too, like culturally in the Caribbean, with our Rastafarian brothers and stuff in Jamaica, that whole idea of marijuana use in the Caribbean.
Mm.
Our main concerns in health is the early exposure before the age of 25 to a substance like marijuana, which is a mind-altering psychoactive substance.
Mm.
The long-term effects it can have, particularly the Afro-Caribbean youth, their exposure to marijuana before the age of 25. In some instances, just one exposure, one use of it can go on to cause things like schizophrenia, have that sort of delusional type of thinking.
Yeah.
And it affects the way in which the brain develops.
Mm-hmm.
So my main focus with marijuana is protecting the youth and the young brain from its exposure, you know. And but then also the mode in which marijuana is used is, again, smoking.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of majority of persons who smoke marijuana, you know, patients talk to us, and we have very open conversations as healthcare workers. We very private, very confidential. They say, look, it's a roll-on, and they're smoking 4 or 5 roll-ons for the day, not realizing they're smoking 4 or 5 cigarettes for the day. And then after a little while, they realize, well, they're craving only the cigarette alone too, because they're getting addicted now to the nicotine.
Yeah.
Marijuana by itself is not really addictive, particularly as addictive as nicotine.
Yeah.
And because of this roll-on now, you have that. So when we talk about tobacco cessation and smoking cessation, we do address marijuana use too as well too, because plenty of them do roll-ons with the cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's a bit of a challenge, because then certain medications, when we try to help that person quit, we are very limited in our what we can use there as well.
All right, I see some questions coming in here via the WhatsApp there. Let me pull it up. Yeah, on this new board, bim. Let's see what people have to say here.
Yeah, no, good morning. Is vaping something you could get addicted to?
He asks, vaping is something you could get addicted to, yeah?
Of course, yeah. You see, like that question alone tells me we have work to do, you know?
Yeah.
Because people are not aware of the contents of vapes.
Mm-hmm.
And in vapes, you have things like formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we use to preserve dead bodies in Mount Hope.
Wow.
Right? It's a known cancer-causing agent. You have things like vitamin C, acetate, terpenes, known cancer-causing things. In fact, people are vaping now the marijuana, the THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the part that gets you, your mind altered and is psychoactive.
Mm.
And that actually is a lot more dangerous than a lot of the substances that they put in the vaping devices. And back in 2020 or so, in America, you had about 800 students just rapidly, young persons, going into the car accident and emergency, landing up in ICU. Over 80 of them, or 60 to 80 of them, died because of e-cigarette vaping associated lung injury. So, but in the vape, they have nicotine. I have yet to come across a vape user who is addicted and does not use nicotine in their vaping devices.
Mm.
And like I said before, they've protonated the nicotine in it now in these e-liquids, the e-juice. Yeah. You know, everybody talking about what kind of e-juice they have.
So how does the vape actually work here? I mean, you could buy this vape and it'll last you for a while.
Right.
Or you have to refill it or something. No refilling or anything?
So initially, this thing is, I remember when speakers and things, you're adjusting the bass and you're adjusting the coil and the amperage and things in your speakers.
Yeah.
Initially, this is a electronic device that have a battery, have a coil that heats up it, and then a part to put the liquid.
Yeah.
So the liquid passes through the atomizer, the coil, heats up this thing, it vaporizes it, and then you inhale it, and it has a battery component.
Oh, yeah, not.
So it had this reusable one that people would buy, and they would buy the liquid and top it up.
Mm.
But, I mean, these people are smart people at the end of the day. It's more profitable to have a disposable vape
that
you have a one-time use. And the average user burns through a vape in about 1 to 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And that costs them between $200 to $300. So now you have people spending $300 to $600
a month on
disposable. And when you think about the environmental impact about that now too, you have these plastic devices
that you're just
throwing in the bin.
Yeah.
It's when you have so much of what landfills can take as an island, you know, and, and that's just going to harm our environment.
$300 a month, you save that, you know, what money you're saving, my?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, it's terrible, terrible, right? Well, the person just asked about vaping. Is vaping addictive? We spoke a little bit about marijuana and people using the roll-on, which is still use the cigarette, that kind of thing. I know no marijuana right now is not like how it was back in the day. They have all different types of strains.
Yeah, and, you know,
and, you know, it's important. So basically, the vaping and the smoking is like you're frying, like we say you're frying chicken with oil, regular oil, and then vaping is like you're using a deep fryer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Deep fryer, which is, you know, 10 times, you know, 10 times worse. So it just has more dangerous or nosy signs. What are some of the other causes and effects of smoking could have on the body?
Right. So, you know, mentally, and we had to start thinking about our mental health as part of our health. We always think about the body.
The physical,
and, you know, so we talk about cancer. We talk about non-communicable diseases like asthma, COPD, diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease like heart attacks and strokes. In men, it can cause infertility and erectile dysfunction. Infertility in men. In children, it causes sudden infant death syndrome. It causes middle ear infections, a lot more hospitalizations. Over 200,000 children die each year because of secondhand smoke exposure. But mentally, I want to talk a little bit about the effects of tobacco. And, you know, we form this dependency now where as a human being, we give up on our goals and our aspirations by taking a drug like nicotine in the form of a tobacco cigarette and just burning it away. Because now your brain now is getting the feeling that you accomplished something. So whereas back in the day, you would see people more involved in the community, be able to be part of a coach, a little team or something like that, be in a musical, play something. You're now getting that rapid addiction in the form of a cigarette there. And it really affects your mental health. And the withdrawals that come with it is very severe. So you find people becoming more and more addicted. They get into the chain smoking habit to the point where without that cigarette, you are now dependent on a cigarette to feel as if you've done something.
Without it,
I mean, it's sad. I have, you know, a lot of persons I associate with and stuff like that. And when you see them, they just, it's really challenging for them that, look, they had to leave a, they wouldn't be able to sit down in an office like this for an hour or two.
And had to get up and, you know, I don't want to take a smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you mentioned, well, chain smoker. There's some people who are not chain smokers, but I've come across people who say they're smoking just social, you know. They're out and are smoking not to get high. Or smoking, just take a little smoke, a little pull, a little thing. Is that just as dangerous as smoking itself?
Yeah, just one cigarette alone can. You don't know, you're gambling with your life. You know, you don't know. It have people who smoke long times and they just get away statistically. And then, but then it have people who just one exposure to smoking can cause an immediate, you can have a severe asthmatic attack right there and there. You could be damaging your cell's ability to fight cancer. And smoking, tobacco and nicotine have actually been found to destroy your cell's ability to regulate itself and fight cancer. So it just goes into a ray and the cells start just multiplying and it becomes into a tumor and it becomes cancerous, you know. So that's one of the ways in the actual mechanism that they have found how tobacco actually causes cancer, you know.
What about a pregnant woman who it is advised if you're smoking and you get pregnant to stop one time, but there are some pregnant women who might smoke. I mean, that is one of the worst things you could possibly do. But what would the advice you give that's to a pregnant woman?
And that's a real good conversation to have too. We cannot be harsh on our pregnant woman. So just because a woman become pregnant, she's supposed to just suddenly get the strength to quit. We have to support her and you know, work with her. Yes, it's bad for the child. It's bad for these things like that. But we have to understand that is the same way someone who would have been smoking too as well, whether they were pregnant or not, have to try and quit smoking. We can't just say, look, you have to quit smoking because you're pregnant. It don't work like that. You have to say, look, moms-to-be, this is going to be a challenge. And we have help where you can go through some counseling. Don't just sit down home there, you fighting these tremors, these cravings, headaches, feeling even more nauseous, shaky, heart pounding on your own. You can come in as a pregnant woman who used to smoke and we will help assist you get over this cravings and the withdrawal symptoms.
And how do you do that? I mean, like, they're different. Maybe you chew gum, you put a patch, you know, they have these patches. Do those things really work?
Yeah,
the patch and the thing where you could insert and look at all that kind of thing.
No, these are highly effective. So nicotine replacement therapy is very effective. In fact, in America, it's over the counter. So anybody who wants to try and quit smoking could go in a drugstore the same way you buy some multivitamins.
Yeah.
And you can buy either a gum, a lozenge, a spray, a patch. Mm. But particularly for a pregnant woman, for those who wouldn't be able to on their own through behavioral and support and counseling and talk therapy, the nicotine replacement therapy is something as healthcare professionals we can prescribe and recommend for the pregnant woman.
All right, let's get another question.
Next question here. When vaping was first introduced into Trinidad and Tobago, I think they said that it was something that was non-addictive and, you know, things like that. So what could the government do about that now and put in place something to stop this false advertising that people tend to create when they bring new products on the market? Can there be a charge for that or something?
And I know what you're talking about, because when the vaping was introduced as an ad, people who sell the vapes, the distributor, they say it is less evasive than smoking, you know, so that is not true.
So the thing is, it's being, with the data and the evidence, you know, showing half, not even half, just a percentage of the data. So they're not looking at the long-term effects. And, you know, I advise persons, don't be the guinea pigs to persons' experiments. And look, listen to what the healthcare professionals, is so many doctors out there right now championing this cause. The whole Caribbean right now, there's the Healthy Caribbean Coalition speaking against vaping and the entire world. Some countries across the world have banned vaping completely, you know, and, and you know, so.
I wish we could do that.
The main thing, though, is education, because we need to educate our public and persons need to make informed decisions. At the end of the day, every human being has the power of choice, and you can make the decisions there. As a society and as a country, what we can do is try to ensure that people are exposed to proper health information and health education.
All right, folks, take another break and we come back. Right, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sangeet 106.1. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. So we're talking about smoking, the effects, you know, and of course how to cut it out. And we did get into vaping or not. Now, I know somebody mentioned just a while ago about they buying a vape for a close friend of theirs, thinking that will help them to stop smoking. What do you think about that? Or do you recommend that?
Yeah, so actually, you know, they've retracted statements about vapes as smoking cessation devices because this literature now, the evidence is that people become dual users. So you start this vaping thing and you think, yeah, you know what, this is going to help the person quit. They use it for a while. They might be cigarette free for a few months, 6 months or so. But then the nicotine addiction builds stronger and stronger to the point now where they supplement the addiction now because it's more potent with going back to being tobacco users. So now you have persons who would have been spending $30 on a pack of cigarette and now $200 on a vaping devices too. And they're using the two together as one.
So this thing is a demon, boy.
You know, what's the scary thing too is the young people, right? We see in that they are more likely, when they start so young, to go on to become cigarette smokers. So it comes like these persons are protecting their interests. It's like you're throwing a net to catch people.
So if you don't do something now, we will have a generation of cancer out there, but I mean, it's just...
I mean, we're possibly potentially seeing the effects already of heavy tobacco use, particularly in the Caribbean region. Our rates are a bit higher when you look at it globally as well, too. Thankfully, though, the world overall is doing really good in reducing the amount of tobacco users. It has been on a steady decline, particularly because of the work of education and campaigns.
I really do think, I mean, if I was the Minister of Health, I would really take some of these kids on a field trip, let them go and see in the hospital what are some of the effects of people who have been smoking and even die with diabetes and things, to let them see somebody with their foot cut off. So this is how you will end up. I remember, I always speak about this boy. Going by where they were walking by a school, and there's a snow cone man by a school.
Right.
I still see it sometimes because I walk a lot to and from work. Right? And the children there, put more milk. And I like, we've looked at milk on the snow cone. By the time only reach my age, only one of my leg.
You know,
and it's terrible.
Yeah.
What's going on out there? So we really have to educate parents and educate children. Because where are the children getting the money to buy these vapes in the first place?
Exactly.
They ain't working.
Exactly. And it's a lot of allowance. It's parents' money.
Yeah.
You know? So, and at the end of the day, it's an addictive behavior. And when you think about it, that child could have saved up to buy her football boots. Buy a guitar, right, for Christmas, buy a phone even, you know, that's the kind of money that's being spent on vapes.
Look, somebody's saying any young person under 18 from with a vape and they're not working, their parents should be locked up. Because that's where they're getting money from. I agree with that. So we had to do it harsh. Harsh times calls for harsh measures, boy. Yeah. It really is. So we spoke about a lot of the effects of smoking with men and women. Anything else that we miss? Can it affect your eyes, your vision? Mm-hmm. You know, you're seeing things that you regularly do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so, you know, for instance, you know, one thing that smoking affects is pain. Mm. People don't recognize this, but we, on the orthopedic ward when we used to work there, we would know when someone was a smoker mm-hmm. based on their response to pain.
Mm, okay.
And the smokers, just their pain tolerance is very, very low. So you find that your any small little things affects you very sensitive. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really sad to see the kind of pain they go through when they do experience painful events. And, you know, yes, you talk about vision as well, too. Cardiovascular disease. Mm. We had to think of, everybody think about cardiovascular as heart only. But we have arteries and vessels in our eyes, in our livers, in our kidney, our brain. So when you're damaging your cardiovascular disease, it have persons now suffering with claudication, meaning that that's their arteries in their legs causing so much pain, they can't walk a certain distance. Just walk 100 feet and that foot in severe pain. Similar with your eye, you get hypertensive changes. You could have bleeding to the back of the eye, hypertensive retinopathy, and you're just worsening the cardiovascular system of your body. You know, we had to recognize, look, life is about enjoying as well too, but find healthy, enjoyable things. Things that are not damaging your future. We should all be aiming to live as long as we can and as healthy as we can, not being a burden to anyone. You don't want to be, you know, in your golden years, or not even reaching your golden years.
You're trying to spend life in the hospital looking after people that all the time, you know. All your children doing will be doing later on in life is spending their life in the hospital looking after you. That's what you want.
So that's the, you know, that's the aim of preventive healthcare. And, you know, it's not just smoking, and it's just, we go in, we have to go as a society, go back outside, go eat the things that we can grow in, we little pots and we little kitchen gardens, you know, eat more natural. Get out, be active. The ministry have the TT Moves program. Now they have it, you know, where you could look online, you could go and you could exercise from your home. We should be using our devices now.
Not you go on YouTube, there's so much things on YouTube.
So much videos, you do aerobics, a Zumba, yoga class. You know, get active. Go to the beach. For island people, we don't live island life, you know.
People
some people don't see the beach.
People come here or the ocean, but we have more than us.
Other foreigners coming in here and seeing the paradise we have here in Trinidad and Tobago. Those are the health prescriptions we want to give patients.
But then some people tell them, but I live in such a stressful life. I had to spend 2-3 hours in traffic going to work. I had to work to pay my bills. This is where the stress come in. And that's why some people say they smoke.
No, and that's real. That's real. As I coming up the highway and stuff, I'm a South boy. And when I look at 2-3 hours people spending in traffic.
Every day, to and from.
It's rough. And you know, you had to fight that part of your mind, that what a quick, easy way out to say, look, right, come home, take a smoke, take a and drink a few, you know, like binge drink, as we say, unhealthy alcohol use. Or you fight that fight, you reach home, you say, pick up the family, let we go down in the park and take a walk quick before the sunset. Or, you know, let we go down in the pool and take a swim in the community pool. And you get going, you say, let we still find the energy to go out in the music class and play some music and do things like that. So it's a choice at the end of the day, but it's hard choices. Hard choices.
Somebody said, I was a smoker for 15 years and what made me quit was the birth of my granddaughter.
Excellent.
The birth of my granddaughter made me, I did everything I could quit because I want to see her grow. Now she is 6 years and, you know, going strong.
And I'm so proud of that individual because, you know, that's the kind of success stories. People don't like success that just come easy, you know. Somebody who go through the fire was actually a smoker and quit and stuff like that. That person is such an inspiration to their granddaughter now, you know. And that granddaughter will look up to that person and say, look, I am so proud that my grandmother, my grandfather quit because I want to give me a healthier environment.
And he could be able to relate and talk to the granddaughter and say, don't start smoking, you know what I mean? And that'll be instilled in the granddaughter's arm, you know. You know, in granddaughter's psyche, so to speak. So we spoke about the vaping with the young people and then making it look cool. And I keep going back to the marketing. Is there any kind of anti-marketing strategy to do like, all right, they're making it look cool to vape, but yet still we could do something to make it be uncool to vape?
Well, this is where we as you know, adults in society have to be our children's keeper. You know, the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Yeah. It really comes back to that now. Now, you can't go and tell people how to raise their children. Of course, we know how contentious that is.
Yeah.
But we could start a little football camp. August holidays coming up. You know, you start a music camp. You start something now to give the youths.
Yeah, some kind of activity to do. Talking about that on radio, just said, have nothing going on out there for young people.
Correct. No? And, you know, so we can't all just see the youths vaping and they're just vaping and just point fingers at the youths. We were there once. We know how inquisitive, how experimental that young mind is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have now elders out there, the kind of success we've had in sports, we should now have camps throughout, you know, co-curricular. You know, Iceland took our crown as the smallest nation to qualify for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they did that? They realized they had an alcohol problem and a tobacco problem, right? And they took their youths and said, look, every youth in all our secondary schools have to be involved in a co-curricular activity.
Right.
It so happened, all of them signed up for football.
Okay.
And they went in just a matter of 5-10 years,
last World Cup, Iceland was
right, and they were the smallest country. I think we 1.1 million, and they were like 800,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
So they became the smallest nation to qualify for a World Cup, and they didn't just go to the World Cup; they knocked some serious ball in the World Cup, you know. And that was not just a football success. That was their drug rates and drug use rates now is some of the best in the world. Went down lowest because of that program to get the youths involved, you know.
So as I just mentioned that you're a family doctor. As a family doctor, was there any time that you had to like withhold information from a family, like a family member, from one family member to the next? Is there any kind of confidentiality?
That's a real good question, you know. And It's a real challenge being a physician sometimes because of that privacy, confidentiality, respecting someone's autonomy, you know, particularly elderly patients. Somehow in Trinidad, we feel somebody gets older, that automatically means the children make all the decisions for them. So you have persons coming in, and I want persons to know that, you know, your good family physicians are very confidential, and they will not break that trust. There are very few instances in the laws and the medical laws of Trinidad and Tobago where we have to break that trust if you are a danger to yourself, to others, or if there's some sort of infectious disease that we have to report as well. But we face that very often. People, you know, partners coming in and asking for somebody results and stuff like that.
Right.
And those are things that I hope and I pray that our healthcare professionals aren't doing out there. And I believe so, knowing my colleagues there, that look, we stick to privacy, confidentiality. You want to know when you come into a healthcare room, that conversation stays there.
Okay, extra $1,000.
Exactly, you know. You want that sort of confidentiality, privacy with your healthcare worker. And I want to assure persons, look, the generation of family doctors and generation of doctors on the whole that are coming forward, ethics is a big part of our training and our upbringing as healthcare professionals.
Well, I think it's nice to know that we have family doctors out there, because you need to not only bring back that family, but have somebody that the family could, you know, can confide in.
Certainly,
you know,
certainly.
Different parts. When getting back to the smoking, are there any studies that smoking could lead to like dementia or even Alzheimer's?
That's a good question. Not off the tip of my tongue, I could quote it, but it does affect the cardiovascular function of the brain. So dementia is usually many causes. Alcohol could cause dementia acutely if you drink too much, right? Yeah. You could have vascular dementia, which is like, you know, the circulation in the brain is not as good as we are. So that is actually how tobacco will cause dementia. Not like Alzheimer's dementia, which is like, you know, very genetic and slow growing, and it you see it a lot in families and stuff like that. Whereas vascular dementia, suddenly in a 6 months, you might realize, a few months, wait, boy, Vasant is sounding himself. This man talking a set of nonsense all of a sudden. You know, he's forgetting everything, and it really rapidly declining in terms of their mental abilities and their cognitive function. So vascular dementia is another form of, you know, mental like dementia, and tobacco again will be a significant causative factor for vascular dementia.
All right, man, we almost on a wrap up time. We'll be speaking with Dr. Vasant Basio today. Right, would you care to say any of your numbers or where you can be reached in your practice?
Sure. So I work privately as a family doctor at Holistic Medical Center. You can contact me at 765-4325 to set up an appointment with me. You know, and also I'm very much involved in the community. You know, I'm a member of the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society. We do a lot of charitable work there as well too. And in these remits, we are very happy. Reach out to me if you have any things you might want to consider. Like, as you say, come and give a talk or something like that. Mm. Schedule permitting, I will be more than willing to assist, particularly in prevention. I strongly believe in prevention. As family doctors, one of our goals is to keep people out of hospital.
Right.
To prevent that heart attack, that stroke, that kidney failure, that blindness. And we try to encourage people to come in earlier. Not when just when you're sick, but just come for a checkup. And we will help guide and navigate you as the individual you are with your unique challenges, who makes you you, and try to get you now on the path that is best for your optimal health in your future.
Yeah, man. You said that because you'd be surprised. So this show, I know there's your first time here, but there are some people might call in and messaging, doctor, I'm swelling for the last 6 months. I'm feeling a pain for the whole year. And you know, they would not go and see a doctor.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need to take care of that. Thank you there very much, Dr. Basdeo. Of course, here again, this has been the Lunchtime Doctor for today on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5 and Sangeet 106.1. Do enjoy the rest of your day.